Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside.
Hello and welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. My name is Paulie and this is Tom. How are you, sir?
And my name is Tom. My name is Paulie.
What's well, happening, mate?
Oh, mate, all sorts of things. Loving the book I'm reading at the moment. I'm reading, have you heard of How to Do the Work by Nicole LaPara?
No, I haven't, but very keen to sink my teeth into it.
Yeah, it's really good. I've been following her for a while. And I've interviewed her a couple of times, and she's the holistic psychologist on Instagram. Mm. And it's just a very necessary voice in our world at the moment. I think, you know, even in the clinical model, when you do, you know, you study psych at uni, there are talks around integrative psychology, the biopsychosocial model, having a look at all the factors that make a person a person. But she really was the first psychologist, as far as I'm aware, doctor of clinical psychology, who really started talking about the importance of diet, sleep, breathing, all these other factors, environment, that really count for much more than what we think, especially when you start to think about just how much we got it wrong with the chemical imbalance theory that was actually always just a theory, as far as I'm aware. So yeah, just a really necessary voice in our world, and probably a really good segue into kind of some of the stuff we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, great and lovely segue. Let's really just introduce her. What we are going to be talking about today are various different eating protocols and diets, if you want to refer to it as that, for different lifestyles, and what's kind of worked for us and what we might be able to shed some light on that might work for you based on what your lifestyle is and what your experience of life is. Because ultimately, look, we're not nutritionists, we're not dietitians, but what we do have is a wealth of experience when it comes to using our own bodies and minds as guinea pigs. And is just share our own experiences with you guys, and you take from that what you will theoretically, and then you can apply that to your life. Obviously, in a safe way, we are not responsible for anything that happens wrong.
That's exactly right. Batteries may not be included. For sure.
So, without any further ado, should we get the ball rolling with some of the you know, things that you've experimented with in the past, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So I'll be really upfront here. Part of the reason why I got interested in different forms of eating was when I first started dating my lovely other half. I had a real snoring issue, and to some degree, I still have a relative snoring issue, although I know exactly where it comes from right now. In other words, I can eat a certain food and I know 100% that I'll wake up the next day and Siobhan will be like, "Hey, you were fucking snoring all last night." So it is.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But that's how I got into it.
What's the biological response to this? I'm sure you'll get into it now. So
yeah. No. if I have too much wheat or dairy, my nose just clogs up. And within 20 minutes, it's very interesting. I can tell you straight away if I've had wheat and dairy. And what's really interesting is when I first started creating content, I was creating audio content in podcast form 2016, but I started doing video 2017. I look back on those videos and I sound so much more clogged up. I really sound kind of like that, you know, when I'm talking, and, you know, a bit younger, so I'm a bit more bravado, I suppose. But it's fascinating to go back and watch those, you know, videos. And but anyway, I was allergic to everything under the sun as a kid. You know, beans, tomatoes, eggs, all nuts. I had asthma, just had a real kind of autoimmune thing going on, you know. It was always pretty well accounted for. so long as I took my asthma medication and so forth, but started hearing more about how people were, you know, taking a root cause approach to get rid of all of these symptoms. You know, so you got asthma, well, let's deal with it with a preventative. And people were saying, well, if you just don't have this, you won't have asthma. So there's no need for a coping strategy. And I felt very empowered by that ideal, So, you know, long story short, started to play around with different things. I was also a very, very much an unconscious eater, you know, so I was eating cookies and pizza and burgers and bullshit all the time. Things I still love now, but a little bit more consciousness to it. Because I was training all the time, So I was just all about bulking. And doing it in a very unscientific bro science kind of way. Anyway, started playing around with things, looking into different sorts of things, tried veganism for about 2-3 weeks. Probably not enough time to really give it a fair crack. But all of the nuts, I mean, I couldn't have nuts, but the seeds, and it was very carbohydrate dense, and that didn't really sit well for me. I really found lots of dumps in my energy. With the high insulin response from a heavy carbohydrate meal. Trying a bit of keto. I've never really done things perfectly. I can't really ever state that I've tried a specific diet, you know. But the big things that have improved my life massively have been limiting wheat, dairy, sugar, and alcohol. Although I still have them from time to time. Of course, had a wine last night. I'm not insane. Seed oils as well. You know, getting out vegetable oils and canola oil, which is in everything. Like, that's so hard to get rid of. And what I found generally is that anything is better than a standard Western diet. What's your experience been?
Well, firstly, like, it's awesome because you had something that. I mean, it's not awesome because you obviously experienced a lot of discomfort early on in life, but what that urged you to do was to seek answers early on. And you had the awareness to be able to kind of say, right, I can actually address this with things other than medication, you know? Yeah. And you looked at something and, you know, what is it that, is it Hippocrates that says food be like medicine or whatever? Right. It might be. And that is the first place we should look, because that's the kind of stuff that we shove in our faces multiple times a day, and we don't even consider it as medicine, but it does have such a dramatic effect on our biological response. So kudos to you for doing that. And like, where is your asthma at now as a result of that?
So I should probably mention for context as well, so back in 2016, before I started doing all this sort of stuff, so I had anaphylaxis to nuts, been hospitalized multiple times. In 2013, it was really bad. I had a double overnight stay. I had a second reaction. My oxygen levels dropped to 30%. So this was pretty severe anaphylaxis. I'd ingested a whole heap of peanut butter by accident. I didn't know what it was. I came home drunk from a night out.
Oh no.
Melbourne Cup night. And there were these kind of peanut butter sausage rolls in the house. And I was like halfway through one before I started choking up. And the photos are actually quite distressing because it's like the Bear Grylls bee sting.
Wow.
Image. It's crazy. But
do you feel comfortable sharing them on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm happy to put them up. Yeah, of course.
Come on, guys, tune in.
Yeah. Social media. We'll get some content. Love it. That's right. But you know, the thing is like in 2016, my immune system was so reactive that if there was a bit of pollen in the air, this happened on two occasions, as I was driving to the CrossFit gym that I was working at to coach a 6 a.m. class. There was pollen in the air. I had the windows down. Halfway through the 6 a.m. class, I had an anaphylactic reaction and had to drive home and go to hospital.
Wow. Because
as soon as you use an EpiPen, you have to go to hospital, because an EpiPen is a temporary reliever. But we're not sure once the adrenaline wears off, you'll have to go back again. So this was a really big deal for me. And looking into diet, you know, was tough in the beginning, because when you've been doing something for so long and eating a certain way for so long, you just don't have any comparison, you know? And now if I have a Tim Tam, I'm aware of the inflammatory response it's had on my body. And I think, and I should mention this, again, this is probably, we really wanted to just state from the beginning that this is just our own experience and we're not dietitians. I probably should state that for whatever reason, I think my immune system isn't as robust as other people's. I think immune issues are ubiquitous in the world. I think we all have reactions if we have too much wheat and dairy and sugar and seed oils and so forth. But because it's been with me for life, you know, I started having anaphylactic reactions when I was 2. So this really is a, I would say, more of a biological thing within me. It's not like all of a sudden I started eating cookies at 16 and then all these things happened, you know. But it was really bad. And what I have learnt now is that cutting out those things 80% of the time, 20% of the time, like tomorrow night, you know, the Rings of Power latest episode comes out and I'll just be smashing burgers and I'll probably have a beer. I'm looking forward to it, you know. So I don't want to be crazy with all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, for the most part, it's led to a massive improvement in my life, intermittent fasting as well. My ability to focus as someone with ADHD and OCD, you know, it has had a just an, it's almost an indescribable effect on my life doing these things.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we are so up against it being bred on bread.
Yes. I thought you were going to...
but amongst other things, you know, like we're really, really fed. I'm going to stop all these puns, but like we're brought up in the 80s. Like if you're a child in the 80s and 90s, you're brought up with all of these, messages sent to you from mass media saying, you know, the old food pyramid, this is the way that you should be eating. And the vast majority of that is wheat. And it's pretty clear that, you know, mass produced wheat does have this high inflammatory response. So segueing from that, to what I've found to be really, really beneficial for me. And I've tried various different things over the years.
Well, can I just, you know, quickly, Paulie, sorry. What led you to get into this? Were you suffering in some way? Or what got you interested in diet?
I was a fat kid. I was overweight as a child, and I think when I, you know, kind of stepped into 15, 16 years old, I think I just wanted to kind of start molding my body. Take a little, you know, interest in girls started to peak it, and you know, the rest is history type of thing. So I wanted to take a little bit more pride in my appearance, and I also then, as a result, became fascinated with how far I could push my body from an athletic perspective as well. So that's kind of where things happened for me there. And in my probably late 20s, I really became fat. Like I became heavily kind of immersed in that CrossFit world, and hand in hand with the CrossFit world was this new thing called the paleo diet. It was like my mid 20s maybe. And I don't even know what diets are aligned with CrossFit now, but paleo was just this new, thing that people were talking about, and I really became immersed in the CrossFit vernacular and the culture and all, everything associated with it. So anyway, I tried this out, and it really gave me a tremendous amount of benefits. Obviously, the first 2 weeks detoxing off a lot of these types of things. Just to break down what paleo is it's the hunter gatherer diet. You know, it's essentially anything that you could kill, harvest or gather, you know, there's a lot of memes and jokes associated with it, which are pretty funny, but as a relative base level, I still think it's pretty sound, and I am not a dogmatic person in any sense of the word, so I don't, you know, I never took everything that the paleo, like the watertight philosophies of it, to heart, and then just that's it. No, that's not the way I looked at it. But what I did do was I removed wheat for the vast majority of what I was doing. So I'd have salads instead of sandwiches for lunch. I would don't even know what I'd have for breakfast. It was just changing your understanding and your format, and also knowing that you get an adequate amount of protein, fats, also understanding those macros, because I coupled it with what's it called? It was massive in the CrossFit world. I'll remember it. It was about getting those ratios of macros down pat, and I found that to be very beneficial as well. Anyway, the overarching macro philosophy of paleo was great because it removed a lot of inflammatory foods for me, which was predominantly wheat and sugar, and once we take that out, then and this seems to be really, really simple kind of logic to apply in 2022, but in 2008, it actually wasn't.
Absolutely. It's and again, speaking to your experience as well as very similar with mine, just recognizing that what we are surrounded by isn't necessarily at all the right way. And you make a great point. Mass media, marketing. When I was growing up, it was Kellogg's, Cocoa Pops. I grew up watching Cheese TV for everyone, in Australia, like late 90s, early 2000s, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon. And then in the ads, you're watching adverts about Cocoa Pops. And I would go on, I would go to breakfast with mum, and we'd have Cocoa Pops together, and that's what it was like. And it was really fun, and then we wonder why these kids can't sit down and settle. There's a lot of sugar going on in those things, and sugar is a
Lot, yeah.
heavy drug, it's a great drug,
Yeah.
but it's a crazy drug,
Especially
but
for developing mind.
yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's just impossible to create a kind of sustained level of attention focus because you get hyperactive and then you feel that dump, but speaking to your experience, it's just there's motivation to change, and then what tends to happen is experimentation. And I think just speaking psychologically, there's something in our world called the stages of change model, which I really enjoy. And it's good to help people figure out kind of where they are on that. Sometimes people don't even want to change at all. Sometimes people are in that sustained maintenance level. Other times people are kind of thinking about it, but haven't started to make the right moves yet. What tends to happen with individuals is that when we find the motivation to change, we expect results instantly. But what I really love about your journey is that you moved into a stage of experimentation, and maintenance and experimentation are two of the same kind of things that I think we need to remember than when we're trying to change and improve our lives, is that maintenance is, I think, when we finally make the motivation to find the motivation to change, we expect that once we get the result, that'll be us for the rest of our life. But the journey of life is about experimenting. And we'll never get to this place where now I have the perfect diet, I eat perfectly, and this is who I am. It's not, I'm always finding things out and improving them.
Spot on. And I think, our experience of life and who we are will continue to change and evolve. So what served us from a dietary perspective in the past may not serve us now, because everything internal will be changing. And that's what I find with myself right now. Which leads me to something I've been really experimenting with and using as a commonplace over the last probably 3, 4 years of my life, which is intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating. And I find that this is just works for me as a dad, in terms of supporting my lifestyle. When I wake up, I have a black coffee. Well, first I have a bunch of water. And then I have a black coffee, and I generally don't eat until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that works for me because I'm clearer of mind. I have the ability to be able to also, you know, have greater control over the calories that are going into my system, which, you know, if you're looking for body composition, that can also be an effective strategy for that. And I, yeah, it's just easier. It's just more straightforward. I mean, you don't have to prepare anything. I wake up really early in the morning, you know, like I don't want to have to add an additional 15, 20, 30 minutes of breakfast preparation time to my day. And I love food. Don't get me wrong. I freaking love food. Like, I think it's an amazing thing. And I also think it's an art form that has been removed from a lot of modern day culture, from a lot of modern day families as well. The rituals of being able to sit down at a family, as a family or whoever it might be, and to be able to break bread together, so yes. And to be able to talk about your day and all that kind of stuff. I feel like everything's a little bit fragmented and mobile now, but you can still do that. And in fact, I do still do that in the mornings with my kids when they eat breakfast on the weekend. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, you know. And this is what I also tell a lot of my, my hero dads and mums. It's like, you know, I want to be able to go out. They tell me I want to be able to go out with my family for breakfast. Well, I'm like, if we're trying this way of eating, which is not for everyone, but if this is what you're trying, you can still be there. You can still be a really, really powerful presence in your family's life. Just the engagement that they're getting from you is not the fact that you're putting food in your face.
Yes.
It's the fact that you're present. It's the fact that you are sitting there and you're asking them questions and you're engaging with them. And you can do that with a cup of coffee or a glass of water, you know, and that is something that it's just a mindset shift, so to speak.
Yeah, I really love that, man. And, you know, something else I really love that you mentioned before is that, you know, how diets can change in response to different goals, you know, and straight away an image, you know, both of us being guys, you know, the first image that comes to mind is, a woman who's pregnant, you know, and all of the hormonal changes and the dietary requirements and needs. I think from memory, my mum was, had this real craving for Turkish delights and broccoli. Now, mum, if you're listening, I could have got that wrong. I'm pretty sure that's right, though. I'm catching up with her not too long after this.
Is that, but it's like amazing. Together?
Like, no, I don't think together.
Together or...
Turkish delight just melted over a broccoli. I'll have to ask her. But going with that, you know, and there's a friend of mine who's a psychotherapist, and she talks about intuitive eating, and I really like that concept as well, because what it speaks to is being able to reconnect with your body and its needs, you know, and there's a great power to be had in that, you know. Do I really feel like the sugar right now, or am I actually just bored, you know, or actually am I really hungry, in which case give me that sugar, you know, because I haven't eaten for a while and I've been training too much, or whatever it is, you know. And I can only imagine what that would be like to be pregnant and feeling into the incredible you know, needs and things that come up in response to what's going on in the body there. But you're exactly right, you know, and bringing this back to our experience, taking more intuitive approach, you know, I played around with the carnivore diet.
Yeah.
And I will say that I don't feel any healthier than when I'm eating mostly grass-fed beef, avocado and eggs. You know, and that's kind of boring, but I could eat once a day and be thriving. In fact, I did that 2 days ago. You know, I'll just have a fair amount. Like, I'll have 4 grass-fed burgers, 4 eggs, 2 avocados, and I could speak with 6 clients a day, and I feel amazing. And what's even better about that is the next morning I can wake up really early, and because there's nothing in my system that's really weighing me down, I feel like I've had 10 hours of sleep. You know, so that's quite a radical thing. And I don't do that all the time, but sometimes if I really feel like I want to own the day, I will kind of employ that strategy.
It's interesting. I've never gone down that path, but like, tell me a little bit more about this carnivore way of eating, because I've done a little bit of research into it, but I'm keen to hear your take on it and how you've kind of employed it into your life.
Yeah, so again, I'm not an expert in this. I don't have a medical background whatsoever or a dietitian's background, but purely from following people who advocate this way of living, there are people out there like Paul Saladino, Carnivore Aurelius, he's a big one. Jordan Peterson, clinical psychologist, he actually does it, although he only talks about his experience as well. From what I understand, the people who are against it, which I'm always fascinated by because I want to make sure that I'm molded into an accurate perspective, view it very much as just an elimination diet. So if you only eat meat, you're going to feel a lot better than if you're eating heaps and heaps of bullshit, of course. But it might not necessarily be nutrient dense, or you might not get all of your little micros or whatever it is, although there's a lot of pushback on that idea too. But the reason why I don't just eat meat is because it's just boring. I want to go out and enjoy a parma with a mate or whatever it is. I love unhealthy food, I will be honest. But what I try to see it as is it's the gold standard or the pinnacle of my feeling healthy. So if I feel like I've had a couple of bad nights, then I might just have a day or two of just doing that to find that homeostasis again. But as far as what I can understand is the context behind the carnivore diet is, it's like paleo times 10. We think back to hunter-gatherer tribes. Yes, we were eating nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables, but we were most excited by meat, killing meat and then cooking it. And there's a whole lot of theories out there that suggest that the development of the prefrontal cortex was in response to eating meat and fire, but we used fire to, see after dark, which is amazing. And then also cook our meat. And it's just interesting looking at people's experience with it, the amount of weight people lose, all of the immune issues that just literally go away. And and these things aren't supposed to go away, according to Big Pharma or the Western model or whatever it is. It's, these are things that you have to manage if you have asthma, if you have, whatever it is. It's like, and these things just go away, So it's interesting. I try to be skeptical, but speaking from my own experience, it feels good.
That's great. That's awesome. And like I've heard, I listened to a great podcast once on a very from a very knowledgeable guy who had gone through the self-experimentation of it. And the theory out there for, obviously you're not eating vegetables and when you're on a pure meat diet, but there's a theory of if you're eating high quality meat, it's the vegetables that that meat had eaten in its past that have been processed through these animals, and the enzymes that are enlivened through this process we actually take on.
Yes.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Yes.
But
It sounds cool.
sounds cool, right? So anyway, it is fascinating. It's interesting. Look, to close in what I have found to really work for me is time restricted eating works for me. Doesn't I don't do it all the time. Probably do it like 5 out of 7 days. I go through periods where I have 7 days completely for long periods of time, and then sometimes I'll go through a period for like a few weeks where I just will have breakfast. It varies. The thing that I find has the greatest impact on me is cutting shit out after dinner. Like, it sounds really simple. People have all these sexy diets with the carnivore diet and the vegan diet. What about just not eating shit after breakfast, after dinner? Like, that's something that is really, really simple, but I guarantee you, at least in my experience, that's going to have the biggest effect on your mind, on your mindset, but also on your body composition, if that's what you're looking to achieve as well. Like, you can, you know, have a vegan carnivore, paleo, intermittent fasting diet, where you're doing all these different things, but ultimately, if you're going to go to the Cadbury block and have half of it at the end of the night,
that's
you're going to feel like crap, right?
Yes.
And you're going to put on body fat. So depending on what your goals are, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical health and, body composition, I have found, and this is just recent in the last few weeks, because I found myself getting back into the habit of just going to that pantry after I finish dinner.
Yeah.
Like literally, I have a sweet tooth. So literally before I finish my last bite of dinner, I am at that pantry looking for something sweet to eat.
Yeah.
And I had a word with myself like a few weeks ago, and I was like, this is not okay. Like, I need to, I'm okay with having sweet things in my life, but like the urgency in which I just found myself appearing in front of the pantry, it was like, I didn't even use my feet. I just glided over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm actually just going to make a bit of a rule for myself. Yeah. Going to create a little bit of a barrier here. And that's after I eat dinner or after I eat a meal, I'm just not having any sugar.
Yeah.
And it's done wonders for me over the last few weeks. Like I feel clearer. I'm thinking clearer. I'm also dropping weight that I found had just come on as well. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, we look for these really, really shiny objects, but sometimes it's the simple things that we need to consider as well.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Low-hanging fruit, isn't it? You know, if we stop doing the things that we know aren't good for us, you know, that has a massive improvement as opposed to trying to think about what the right answer is to do. You know, there's two ways of gaining perspective. You know, sometimes like, who do I want to be? You know, who am I inspired by? That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is, who do I not want to be like? You know, what's a big issue that I think is a really big issue? You know, I certainly don't want to do that, you know, whatever that is. And that's going to repel you in the other direction. And that's really good to know as well. That's a great way to motivate.
100%. Yeah. So, look, we've just shared our experiences of what, you know, various different eating protocols have had for us. Take this however you want to. Bring whatever you want of this into your life and experiment with it. Let us know. Also, we're really, really keen to understand what has worked for you as an individual. Please write in the show notes or in the notes below, presuming this is going to be on our YouTube channel. So, you know, put it in the notes below, and we'll be really, really keen to kind of share that dialogue. We're really keen to start continuing dialogues after these episodes with you guys. So if you have any experience that you want to share with us, if you want to correct us on anything that we've also, you know, kind of shared, we're always open to growing and hearing any feedback. So I'm looking forward to hearing everything from you guys, but ultimately, you know, try something. If you're not happy where you're at, try something. Don't just keep doing the same shit because you're going to get the same results.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Always a pleasure, Paulie. We'll talk to you soon, hey?
Thank you so much, Tommy. Thanks, guys.